So he could see out over the people. But see, something about Zacchaeus was interesting. Whenever he spoke, whenever Jesus saw him, Jesus said he was going to come to his house that day. And so he went to his house, and Zacchaeus was so touched by Jesus and who he was that he just surrendered his life to him right there. This is even before the cross, even before the resurrection, but Zacchaeus saw, this is him. Zacchaeus gave his life, and he promised that he would make right all the people he cheated up to that point. If there was any, he was going to make it right. And Jesus saw that repentance, and he said, today salvation has come to this house. And that's where we pick it up here in verse 9. He said, because he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so, you see, the tax collector would have been the despised person. The tax collector would have been the one that nobody liked. If you read anything about the tax collectors, the way they made their money was by overcharging the people. Okay? And so it'd be kind of like an IRS agent today who would get everything that they owned, everything that was theirs, by cheating you and putting the extra in their pocket. And there wouldn't be anything you could do about it. How would you feel about them then? For the most part, nobody likes the IRS agent anyways. I always feel kind of sorry for the poor guys. They're just doing their job, right? Poor things. Come on, let's all, everybody go, aw. Poor things. Yeah, you see, even today, we're not all that wild about the tax collectors as a whole. Now, not everybody feels that way, but a lot of people do. Well, think about it in their day. If the guy's cheating everybody for his wage, probably would be the most despised, lowly person, especially the fact that he was a Jew and was helping the Romans, willingly helping the Romans. That would be a major strike against him. If you see, what did Jesus say? Because of his repentance, he said, I say to you, he's the son of Abraham. Boy, that would have freaked everybody in the crowd out. And he said, but you know, salvation has come to his home. And he came so that he could seek and save that which was lost. He came to give his life as a ransom for many as well. We find that back in that Matthew 20 passage in the verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I can tell you, whenever Jesus gave his life as a ransom, we were being held by an enemy. Y'all know about kidnappers today. That's kind of where we would use this word. If somebody kidnaps somebody else, and it would be a loved one, and of maybe a rich and important person, and then they demand a certain price. Well, we were being held captive to the enemy, weren't we? Let's go to number 3 there, guys. We were being held captive to an enemy, and Jesus actually came, and he made his life be the price, the ransom that would be paid for us. Man, when we think about that, it behooves us to remember that we belong to him. You see, I want us to be thinking about these things as we go into the Christmas holiday, because, man, we can get all crossways and sideways with all the way the world demands of us on Christmas time. I can tell you the real gift's already been given, and I trust you already know that, but I want us to be thinking about that, that the ransom has been paid for many. Now, this one is something that he can't share with anybody else. He's the only one who could pay the ransom. But whenever we look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we actually find out that we are to give ourselves as a living sacrifice. So the one thing that is, there's nothing lacking in paying the price for people's salvation, but we are called to lay our lives down to continue the work. And so I think in that way we can share with him, and we can kind of go into being like Jesus in that way. Now, we can't sacrifice ourselves to pay for their sin. Only Jesus could do that, because he was the only one that was ever perfect. But as we look there at number 4, not only did he give himself as a ransom, but he came to call sinners to repentance. And you know, here, this word repentance is one that the world don't like very much anymore. And the reason why the world don't like it too much anymore is because it calls us to actually turn away from our sin. And nowadays, we in the church around America, it seems like we're trying to sell kind of a cheap grace, and that's a very dangerous thing. I can tell you, grace wasn't cheap. It cost God everything. It cost God the very life of his precious son, Jesus Christ. It's not cheap. And the only way that we can really come to salvation is if we turn away from our sin and turn to Jesus. And that's exactly what we saw Zacchaeus do.
He turned his life over to the one who was going to pay the ransom for him. And now that he has paid the ransom, it behooves us to turn our lives over to him as well and to turn away from that sin. In Mark chapter 2, verses 16 through 17, we read, "And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to the disciples, 'How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?' Then when Jesus heard it, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" So how about those Pharisees? Do you think they were sinners too? Were they? Every one of them. Every one of us. And we're called to repent to be saved. You know, many of those Pharisees, not all, but many, never would repent. They were too proud. And you know, a proud person can't enter the kingdom of heaven. We must humble ourselves and repent before we can. And so he didn't just come to say, "Hey, sinners, all come to me, keep your sin, and I'll pay for your sins, and you can just do whatever you want." That wasn't the way it worked. It's not the way it works today either. He came to call them to repentance, to turn away from their sin. The word repentance is more than just, "I'm sorry." It's not just an apology. It's a turning away from. It's a 180-degree turn. And so we want to turn away from sin, and when we do that, we turn to Christ. And I think most importantly of all of these, he did all of this because it was the Father's will. And that brings us to the fifth reason, and that's to do the Father's will. It says, "All that the Father gives me," in John chapter 6, "will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." Do I get an amen to that? If anybody comes to Jesus and asks, he says he's not going to turn them away. Now, I want you to understand, they can't do that in their own strength and their own reasoning. We can't talk anybody into it. It wouldn't be real if we could talk them into it. You see, they're given a choice, but ultimately, it's the Father who's drawing them. It's ultimately the Father who's calling them into that relationship. We tell them, and we should, and we witness to them, and yet the Father calls them. Here's the part that I freely offer it to everybody, because I know that if the Father's calling them and they go, Jesus isn't going to turn them away. And I believe that call of the Father is going out to everybody, so I preach it to everybody. In verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. Oh, praise God. Praise God that he came and he did the will of the Father perfectly. Praise God he never turned away, no matter how hard it got. And I can tell you, it got hard for him. You know, we've just found out that there's several classes that have been studying the thing of Jesus being our high priest and being, you know, looking at it from the Hebrews perspective. Something that we learned from that is it wasn't easy for him. He felt our temptation. He felt our weakness, and yet without sin. Jesus came to do the will of the Father, and he came to serve others and not be served. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came to be that ransom for many. He came to call sinners to repentance, and in all of that, doing the Father's will. So my question today, coming out of that, if we're coming to follow him, and that's the call unto salvation, is to follow Christ, wouldn't you think our call would be much the same as his? As I said, we can't actually be the physical ransom. That's already been done. But all those others, serve, not be served, you know, think about that. Seeking to save the lost, think about that. Don't you think our call is exactly the same, wouldn't you say, as our master? He came and he showed us how to do it. He showed us by doing it himself. It was his whole will and his whole purpose for being here. Let's pray God gives us that kind of focus this year at Christmas time. Amen? When we give a gift, let it be a gift that is given specifically so that we can show the love of Christ. As we show the love of Christ, that it might call people unto salvation or encourage them in their faith. As we live our life from day to day, we won't be looking for others to serve us. We'll be looking to serve. We're saved to serve. It's actually an honor to be called to the same thing that Jesus did. Amen? And so he sort of mentors us into that position. He paid the price for us. He bought us. We surrender. We turn away from the sin, turn our life over to him. And then he shows us how to do it from day to day. Got to be in his word to find that out. But as we do, we'll be like him. And that's what Christian means. Christ-like. Little Christ. I think that it's our call to be like Jesus. I praise God that he was so willing to give himself the way that he did. Let me pray for us. Dear Father, as we come to you today, Lord, we see that the call goes out to all of mankind to turn away from our sin, to repent, and to be saved. And Lord, a lot of times that word saved confuses, because a lot of folks would say, saved from what? We're saved. Saved from sin. We're saved from our own sin and from the penalty thereof. Penalty for sin is death. Penalty for sin is hell forever. But Lord, you paid the price so that if we'll turn away from the sin and turn to Jesus, we can be saved. Not because of our own righteousness. We can't be good enough. It's too late. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But because of your righteousness that you cover us with. You stand in our place because you stood in our place on the day that God's wrath was poured out on sin. And so all who receive you receive the free pardon of sin, and be girded up, be kind of born again, as it's put, to serve you. And it's an honor to serve you. It's not a burden. Oh, Lord, what a blessing that you would call us to be like you. You'll give us the ability. You send the Holy Spirit to live in every blood-bought believer. Lord, if there's anybody here that hasn't experienced true rebirth in the Spirit, I pray today might be the day. If they're being burdened over their sin, Lord, I want to lay it on the altar and say, oh, Jesus, save me. And they believe that you died on the cross for them and was raised on the third day. And they believe what they need to believe to be saved. So, Lord, please, save us and help us to be ready to serve. Go out and call the lost unto salvation. That is our calling. In Jesus' name, amen.
Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Speak that my soul may hear. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus, calm every doubt and fear. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Isn't still seeking thy will, oh, speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus, purge me from every sin. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus, help me the lost to win. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Yielded and still, seeking thy will, oh, speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus, it is no longer mine. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus, I would be wholly thine. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. yielded and still, seeking thy will, oh, speak to my heart today.
Kind of went dead on me, but I want to kind of finish up with the thought, guys. You know, we're never so far from God that He can't save us. So I want you to understand that. You know, I went to the prison last night with Steve. He does some prison ministry over at the Potosi Correctional Facility. We went for a Christmas party, and there were some that was afraid they wasn't going to let me out, but I'm here today. No. You know, really, honestly, guys, we all deserve punishment, don't we? You know, those guys, they're not any worse than us as far as it goes with sin. I mean, yeah, some sins are more destructive, and they, you know, there's a higher punishment for them, especially in this side of heaven, and we understand that. But, you know, Steve said something on the way out that was kind of stuck in me, in my head. You know, he said, isn't it nice to know that even whenever people, you know, these guys have crossed the line this far, that God hasn't forgotten them. And, you know, God hasn't forgotten them. You know, there's many of those guys that is the moment. In fact, I was talking to one while we were in there that went to prison, and he said, you know, it was kind of like I grew up in church, and if you'd asked me, I probably would have told you I was saved. But he said, it wasn't until God finally made me stop. He finally just brought me to an end of all myself. And I really looked at it and I realized, wow, I hadn't really surrendered my heart to Jesus. And then he did, right there in the prison. You know, guys, if we haven't really surrendered our heart to Jesus, we're not really saved. And what does surrender look like? It's like, I'm not in control anymore. You may have to do it every day. Not that you have to get saved every day, but we got to kind of like renew our commitment every day. You might have to do it more than once, because we keep trying to take hold of everything and control it. But guys, just take your hands off the wheel and say, Jesus, you're the pilot. Okay? You're not my co-pilot. You're the one doing the whole direction here, and I'm just going to go with you at this point. I think that's what he's looking for. Not that we don't work or do anything. It's that we do it his way. We go with him. And so I really want you to know, you haven't done anything so bad that God can't forgive you. Lay it down at the foot of the cross. And if you haven't really surrendered everything, you need to. Don't be like that gentleman I talked to last night. It took him ending up there in prison. You know, which I think he's thankful that at least he, you know, God still did it. But, guys, let's be pliable in God's hands to do his will. I think it's a lot better choice. Amen. So I think we're blessed to be here. I'm blessed to be here with you guys. And I want to thank you for coming this morning. And I think we're going to look to see if we got any birthdays. I'm pretty sure we got at least one.